What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Front Office Insights, part of the Fantasy Alarm 2021 MLB Draft Guide. I'm your host, Howard Bender. With me, of course, the GM, Jim Bowden. We're heading down to the Capitol. That's right, Washington, the Nationals. Jim, your former stomping grounds. Let's talk about this team. Let's talk about their offseason. Let's talk about what you're expecting from the Nats this season here. Grade the offseason. Let's start off that and with and giving them a little letter grade with guys like Josh Bell and Kyle Schwarber coming over.
Yeah, I give a B-plus to Mike Rizzo. Look, they had to rebuild this offense because they clearly missed Anthony Rendon when he left as a free agent. And this team went first to last. And you know, Soto doesn't need help in the lineup because he can hit any kind of pitching at any time. But they really missed that extra bat. And I think they solved it with the trade for Josh Bell and the free agent signing of Kyle Schwarber. I really think they started. So, you know, I think Josh Bell can bounce back and do what he did the first half of 2019. And if you go back and look at that first half of 2019, he was hitting at the same pace as Christian Yelich and Cody Bellinger, the top two MVP winners. And then he kind of fell off in the second half and made some mechanical changes and didn't put it together, but he's only 28 years old, a switch hitter, and he's going to be in a lineup after Trey Turner and Juan Soto. There's going to be traffic all day long for him, and he gets to learn from Juan Soto. And you say, well, how can he learn from a guy 6 years younger? Because Juan Soto's Ted Williams. So when you're Josh Bell on the on-deck circle, your eyeballs are going to be on every single pitch and every single swing that Soto makes, and you're going to learn. Because you have to learn when you see Ted Williams or Juan Soto. So I like Bell having a bounce back year. I think he's a really good value at first base. He's going late in drafts. I'll be getting some Bell. If I don't get Freeman and Bellinger or Rizzo or Goldschmidt early, if I don't gain those four, Josh Bell will be my first baseman on some teams. I like him. Good value at first. Kyle Schwarber's going to hit home runs. That's what he does. Better on base league than he is on an average league. He's going to hit for low average. But he's going to hit for power. So I like both of those pickups. I thought they were really good. In the bullpen, they added Brad Hand. He should end up being the closer, 1 year, $10.5 million. He's thrown that slider so many times that he's lost his fastball, and that's why a lot of people didn't play on him this year. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, if he gets to the spring and throws fastballs the whole spring, he should get the velocity back, and he gets it back. Watch out. He was one of the best relievers in the American League last year, so I like that. They bring in John Lester. I wouldn't touch him. 1 year, $5 million. He's in decline. He's got to get out of the game after five innings, but, you know, he's a good clubhouse guy. Ryan Zimmerman comes back, 1 year, $1 million, good clubhouse guy. Alex Avila comes back to Washington as a backup catcher, 1 year, $1.5 million. So, yeah, I like those moves. I mean, you know, you added winners to the clubhouse, right? You infused the clubhouse with winning players. Josh Bell, Brad Hand, Kyle Schwarber, John Lester, Ryan Zimmerman, Alex Avila. That's a 25% of your roster. You just brought in a bunch of world champion caliber humans. So, yeah, I liked his moves, B+.
Like the moves, B+. All right, let's talk about it in terms of fantasy. We'll start in the infield. Yan Gomes and Alex Avila behind the plate. Josh Bell, as you said, now new first baseman. Starlin Castro still slots in. At second base, you've got guys like Luis Garcia, Josh Harrison on the bench. Carter Kaboom, they're looking at him at third base again, announced that he was going to be their starting third baseman. And then, of course, at shortstop, you got first-round draft choice in any fantasy league, Trey Turner. You got some speed. You got some pop. Besides Turner and Josh Bell here, Jim, either of these guys, Kaboom, Castro, Gomes, any of these guys going to be on your fantasy teams?
Yeah, probably not, Howard. I mean, Turner, I'm with you. I think he's second best shortstop on the board after Tatis and ahead of Story, to put it in perspective of how much I like him. Josh Bell, I talked about, is a good value first baseman. I have no interest in Kaboom. I haven't seen what they tell me, but I want to keep in mind that Mike Rizzo, the GM, told me he thinks he's a middle of the lineup hitter in time. I haven't seen it ever. Minor leagues, big leagues. I never saw it when he was going good. But hard to go against Mike Rizzo and his track record on hitters, which is really good. So I'd keep an open mind there. I haven't seen it, though. I won't endorse it. I won't draft him. You know, Castro is one of those guys that late in a draft, if I didn't love my starting second baseman, I would take a chance on him because Turner, Soto, Bell, and Schwarber are going to be hitting ahead of him. Or Castro may end up even ahead of Schwarber. So he's going to have a lot of traffic, and he's a pretty good, decent player in fantasy. He really isn't that bad. So I'm not planning on having him, but as a second baseman, I might.
Okay. All right. As a second baseman, get a little depth there. Maybe take a look. Let's go to the outfield. Kyle Schwarber, Victor Robles at center field. I know you're a big fan of him. Juan Soto, you know, listen, dude, I gotta tell you, when you start throwing the name Ted Williams out there with Juan Soto, that's an eye opener. I've heard that, you know, I've heard around the Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio channel that comment, you know, from you. It takes people by surprise, but man, I gotta tell you, you have never steered anybody wrong when it comes to evaluating Juan Soto.
Yeah, I had Soto before anybody else did because I saw him his first year in spring training, and everybody's raving about Robles, who at the time was their best prospect. And I came back and went on the radio and said that Juan Soto is a better prospect than Robles. And everybody thought I was completely nuts. And I got ripped on by some famous people. I won't mention their names. I got ripped on by some really good analysts from other companies when I came and said that. So I'll take my track record looking at a 16-year-old kid with a grain of salt. Hitters hit. Soto was always going to hit. And it's a special tool. When you see it, an evaluator like me gets excited. I'm going to be honest with you. We get goosebumps, our heart beats, and we can't wait to get to our iPhone to let people in your organization know how good he's going to be, or in this case, to the broadcast booth. There's nothing better than coming back from a spring training or a minor league game and be able to come on the airwaves with you and talk about the next star that no one knows about. It's a passion of mine, and I love it, and that's how good Soto is. He's the fifth best player on the board for me. I'm not afraid to share my draft board with people. It's Acuna, Betts, Tatis, Trout, Soto. They're the best players for me. That's who I'm taking. I will tell you that Tatis and Betts could go either way for me in terms of who's second and third, but Trout at four and Soto at five is not negotiable. And the only reason Trout and Soto are four and five is because they don't steal bases. If they stole bases, they would be one and two on my board, Trout, Soto, because they're the best two reality players.
Right.
Tatis is the third best reality player, believe it or not, but Acuna is the best fantasy player. Anyway, getting back to left field, I'm not going to touch Schwarber just because I'm not a one-trick pony guy, right? I don't play in a lot of on-base leagues. I play in one. And I'm the defending champion 4 years in a row, and Schwarber can't make my team there. And I don't like his average. I don't know how, you know, he's going to get RBIs on this team and home runs, but I like more than that, as you know. Batting average matters to me with hitters. I like hitters that hit with power. I don't like power hitters that don't hit. You know, a lot of people will talk about a Hunter Renfroe or even a guy like Fran Morales, who hits the ball really hard. I don't really love you unless you give me batting average, too. And I know in this day and age, we saw the labor draft earlier this week, where people sat there and de-emphasized average. I'm glad people are doing that because I'm going to beat you in that category. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'll play with you in the other categories at the same time. Victor Robles, okay, I'm on an island by myself. I get it. I think Robles is going to be a guy, okay? I think he's eventually going to hit 290 in the big leagues with 20 homers and 40 steals. I love Robles. I've been saying it for 2 years. I've been wrong for 2 years. And now to make matters worse, his analytics and StatCast are so bad that I am literally on Gilligan's Island with no Skipper, no Marianne, no Ginger, no Mr. Howell. I mean, this is not good. But I'm on the Robles bandwagon, and I'm still going to take him because I love homers and stolen bases. And if Lewis Robert's going to do it, Victor Robles is going to do it. And I might be wrong, but I don't want to be Howard.
Well, I hope you're not. I hope you're not. I mean, listen, I get it. The StatCast numbers did not look good. And, you know, and hitting down the bottom, you know, near the bottom of the lineup is never a good thing either. But listen, you're like the modern day E.F. Hutton. When Jim Bowden speaks, people listen. And that's what you got to do. Just keep your ears open. You know, how many times have we seen guys not dominate in their first couple of seasons, and all of a sudden it clicks. So
yeah, but you know, your point, and I want to just jump on this point, your point about where he hits in the lineup matters. It really does.
Yeah.
Because if Dave Martinez would use my lineup and not his, which is Turner, Robles, Soto, Bell, Schwarber, Castro, Robles would be a guy because they would give him the fastball in that rocking chair and he would hit. And can you imagine Turner and Robles' stolen bases ahead of Soto? You know what that would do to Soto and Bell? That's the lineup they need to make, but I can't get Dave Martinez to do it. He's going to give Soto that second spot. He's going to give him the at-bats. I just want more traffic so Soto can really pound those RBIs.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to watch it, but you're going to develop Robles better in the second spot than the seventh spot. You just are. When you got Kaboom and the pitcher hitting behind you, why am I going to pitch to Robles ever? I'm not. I'm going to pitch around you to get to Kaboom and the pitcher. Now, I like it when he hits Robles ninth and the pitcher eighth, because if Robles hits ninth, then you got Turner, Soto, Bell behind him.
Right.
Then I'll like him even more. But to your point, for fantasy listeners, batting order matters. It matters. Robles' value is higher in a fantasy draft if he's hitting two than if he's hitting seven. It's better if he's hitting nine than if he's hitting seven. But we can't control that. Only Dave Martinez can. And so far, he's not controlling it in the right place.
Frustrating. Very frustrating. What's it going to take, Jim? What's it going to take for Dave to pay attention to you and just give it a try? Just give it a try. See,
Victor's
got to
do it in spring training. Yeah. Victor can determine his batting order spot if he does damage in spring training. I've always said this. The Hall of Famer Barry Larkin taught me this when I was very young in this game. And Barry Larkin said to me, I had him come over and speak to the minor league players, right, to motivate the minor league players. And he said something to the minor league players in his speech, which has stayed with me, which is, you can blame the GM or the farm director all you want, but if you perform well enough, you're getting to the big leagues. Because all they want to do up there is win. And all they want is good players. And if you think they're picking and choosing players, they're not. They're picking performances. They're picking guys that can help them win. Because they keep their jobs if they win. That's how they keep their jobs. I kept mine for 16 years. But I promoted guys. I never had favorites. You perform, I'll give you a shot. Go. Always. I just want to win. And for Victor Robles, you want to hit two? Then go into spring training and hit 330. Hit a bunch of home runs, you'll be hitting two on opening day. And we won't blame Dave Martinez. Now, I want to put you there because I think you'll perform better. But you know what, Victor Robles? You control your future. Let's get the starting pitching, Howard. Let's start with Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg. Give me the breakdown. Do you think all three can bounce back?
I it's going to be interesting with Strasburg. You know, the carpal tunnel syndrome and what he's going to be like coming back and the grip on the ball. And it's just going to be interesting to see what we're looking at with Strasburg. Scherzer, I had said something. I made a comment about Scherzer the other day, and you pointed out what some issues were. I like him for a bounce back. I'm hoping for a bounce back. Again, the question is who's 2020 do you believe in and who's 2020 do you not believe in? So, but people don't come here to the Front Office Insights for Howard Bender's thought process here. They come here for the GM, Jim Bowden. And so you tell me, Jim, Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, is this a big three that's going to help lead the Nationals back to the playoffs?
Yeah, so you caught me how I nicely put you on the spot because I didn't want to be on the spot. Yeah, that's exactly what happened there. You caught me. All right.
I'm wise to your game, buddy.
this is what we need to do here is with Max Scherzer. He went in the second round of the labor draft earlier this week. Stefania Bell of ESPN drafted him. She's very good on injuries. But when she broke down his injuries, when we had her on the SiriusXM Fantasy Radio show, she broke down all the injuries but didn't mention his back. And I think the one thing about HIPAA laws is that medicals aren't shared publicly. And the Nationals didn't share it, and Max Scherzer didn't share it, and have never shared everything. I think, at 36 years old, with the injuries he's had the last couple of years, I can't take him in the second round. I think you need a more sure thing in the second round. He is going to be the player that's either going to be a big bust or it's going to be a great value draft for everybody. Because you're going to have to overdraft him to get him, and you might blossom with him or you might bust with him. I don't know if he can physically stay healthy. I don't. So as great as he is on the mound and as much as he could win the Cy Young this year, He also could spend more time on the IL than he does on the mound. So I'm having a hard time navigating through him. Patrick Corbin threw his slider too much. I understand why. It's a wipeout pitch. It's a nasty pitch. The analytics say you don't need to throw your fastball as much because everybody can't hit the breaking ball, so he throws too many of them. You got to go back to your fastball. Patrick Corbin, like Brad Hand, they got to throw their fastball in the spring, build up arm strength. I think Corbin bounces back. I think he's going to be good value. I don't know what to do with Strasburg. He's always hurt. He doesn't like to play hurt. He's 32 years old. He's coming off carpal tunnel. Like Scherzer, I don't know what you're getting. If Scherzer and Strasburg bounce back, they can win the division or get the wild card and go run the table again. They're a World Series contender if Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg bounce back to form. If they don't, this team's in trouble. So, yeah. This is high risk, high reward threesome, and we're going to know more. I always tell people, don't draft till March 30th. Don't draft. The season starts April 1. Don't draft to the end, because how do you draft Scherzer, Corbin, and Strasburg without watching them throw in March? You're guessing. I don't like guessing in baseball. John Lester's the fourth starter. I'm not touching him. I like Joe Ross a little bit. That's a kind of a late round sleeper here. He really is. He's got some stuff. He's 27. Prime years are here. Let's go to the bullpen quickly, Howard. Brad Hand, I think, it gets to be the closer. Daniel Hudson or Tanner Rainey certainly have experience. Will Harris, Wander Suero give them a decent depth there in the pen. But I think when you go spend $10.5 million on Brad Hand, I think he becomes the guy in that back end in that ninth inning. So I think that's where they go.
Okay. I mean, listen, obviously makes sense there. No doubt about it. And, Hudson's a good guy just to kind of keep your eye on. He balances out some ratios. And listen, if Hand struggles, then Hudson's right there. So, all right. I can dig that. What about on the horizon here? Any prospects in the system? Because you've got Castro's aging out at second base. We're not sure about Kaboom and whether or not he's going to be able to put it together. So right there, second and third are possibilities for some youngsters. Anything on the horizon?
Their top eight prospects are all pitchers. Seth Romero probably makes this pitching staff in spring training in a bullpen role. He's the only rookie that's going to make this team out of the spring. Their best two pitching prospects are Jackson Rutledge and Cade Cavalli, and they would not put them in any deal, would not mention their names in any trade whatsoever, including big names this offseason. Big names are Nolan Arenado, it's Hugo Suarez, it's Chris Bryant. They won't even talk Rutledge or Cavalli because they're going to be future rotation guys for the Nationals. They like Cole Henry. They think he's underrated. Andy Lara, Mason Denneberg, Tim Cate. Matt Cronin, all of them are decent pitching prospects. They have one of the worst farm systems in baseball now, but Rutledge and Cavalli are names to know, and Romero this year. If you want to talk about infield prospect with the organization, I got one for you. I got it directly from Mike Rizzo, and again, I haven't seen him play, so again, I'll get to spring training and give you my report. But according to Mike Rizzo, Yasiel Antuna is a shortstop third baseman that should be as ready as early as 2022 or 23 at the latest. Probably could play second or third. So he's the guy that's next on the board as far as an infielder. Yes, Antuna. But I haven't seen him. I can't endorse someone I haven't seen.
All right. Good info, though. Nice to keep somebody on the watch list, especially if you're talking about dynasty leagues moving forward. I love it. Thank you so much, Jim. Always a pleasure getting a chance to break down teams with you here. That's going to do it for us here at Front Office Insights and the Washington Nationals. Big thank you to all of you for subscribing to the Fantasy Alarm MLB Draft Guide. For Jim Bowden, I'm Howard Bender, and we'll catch you next time.